Praise the Lord. Happy Sunday for everyone. Great blessing coming upon you. Resurrection will come in every life in Jesus' name. You lost a good chance for a great amen. The Lord is by your side right there. He's going to touch your life. Turn your life around. As I give you 1, 2, 3 words, those words will change your life for the rest of your life. Father, we thank you. Your attention, your focus is on us here. This Sunday combined service in Solomon Island. Lord, we pray you open the heavens and shower your blessing upon everyone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, because we know it is done. In Jesus' name, we pray. God bless you with that good amen. You can sit down now. I want you just mention a few words that were joined together. We tied them together. And as the words come out of the Bible, into your heart, something from heaven will come upon you. In Jesus' name. 1, faith. Faith. 2, faithfulness. 3, freedom. 4, future. Join them together. Faith and faithfulness for freedom into the future. That means you have a future. God has something to do. God has planned something he will do. God has made a proposal. That proposal showed it to his only begotten son. And his only begotten son sent the Holy Ghost to come and effect that proposal. That proposal is your future. Starting from this day, as you link your life with Jesus Christ, that gives us all things, provides all things, from your salvation, your sanctification, your spirit infilling, baptism in the Holy Ghost, to the fullness of the provision of God for a greater life, a greater future. And you link up that knowing your future is brighter than your past. Your future will be greater than the past. All it requires from you, faith in him. What's faith? Trust. You trust him. What's faith? Confidence in God. Like you had confidence on that chair you're sitting. When you came in and you sit down there, you didn't pull up the chair, not the chair on the ground, to see whether that chair will carry your weight or not. You didn't look around, you just sat down. That is trust. That is confidence. You didn't try to examine that. How is this? How weak? How cohesive? How strong? That thing in you that gave you the trust, the confidence, and you search there, that is faith. Now faithfulness. Faithfulness, you heard something good is going on here. And they said, why don't you come? Somebody said, I was there day one. I was there day two. And today, come. And you said, I will come. And when you told him, I will come, in your mind, you were preparing to come. Here we are now. And I see you there, and God sees you there. You are faithful to your promise. Faith will trust him. Faithfulness, we can be trusted. I said, I will go. Here I am. I said, I will follow. And I keep on following. And every step I take, one, two, three, four, I am demonstrating my faithfulness. Because I said, I'm coming. I said, I'll follow. I said, I will. And every step, every day is a demonstration of my faithfulness. Now, the word freedom. When your hands are tied, it will be very difficult to do anything good with that hand. And when your feet are tied up, very difficult to walk and to move. And when your mind, the very source of the issues of life, when your heart is tied up, when your personality is tied up, you can't move, you can't act, you can't work, you can't do anything. But when all the chains are broken up, when all the ropes are untied, and your mind is free, and your eyes are free to see, and your ears are free to hear, and your feet are free to stand, and your mind, your soul, free to make a plan and to focus on what you want to do. That is freedom. I come to you this morning to bring freedom from heaven unto you. The chains that tie you, they're broken. The sickness that impoverished you, just there, lying down there, helpless, that sickness is taken away. Now, you understand? There's another word there, future. Future. Many people, they go to crusades, they go to meetings, and they shout, they holler, they sing, they dance, they do everything. And when the crusade is ended, their joy ends. Their expectation ends. And they only tell a story. I went to the crusade ground. I were not there for past tense. I went. We're here to give you a road map for the future. Your future now will be greater and higher and better than your past. Now you tighten your belt. And you say, now I am going somewhere. Now I am getting something. The strength for the journey. The children of Israel had a journey to go through. And they were told, now you have not gone this way before. The Lord was bringing them to the future. And he said, put the blood of the Lamb upon your doorpost. That takes care of all the things in the past. Because all the sins of the past, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood takes care of everything that has gone in the past. Now you take the lamb and you eat up the lamb. And when you eat that lamb, the strength for the journey ahead of you. You're going to have enough strength, enough power, enough backbone, enough courage that your future is guaranteed by the word of God in heaven. I need an amen there. Faith and faithfulness for freedom into the future. And look at this, Hebrews chapter 10. And I read from verse 23. It said, let us hold fast everything you've heard from the first day to this day. Let us hold fast the profession, the declaration, the confession of our faith. It says, without wavering. Live every day as if you were on the crusade field. Live every day as if everything you've heard from the crusade field, and today as if everything is fresh, just spoken to you, and you hold fast that profession of faith without wavering. Look at this, for he is faithful that promised. He is, not only was, yes he was, not only will be, yes he will be, but even now, every day, the present day. Every day, a gift, present day. And he says, you hold fast because he is faithful that promise. Number one, as I divide this to three parts, number one, I'm talking about faith in divine faithfulness. Faith in divine faithfulness. That's what divine means, from God. Divine deity. Divine heavenly. Divine, it's God himself, his nature. And we talk of faith in divine faithfulness. As I look at this, I'm going to give you one verse that you already know. Many of us know this, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Remember, we're talking on faith in divine faithfulness. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's the faith we have. That's what he said. He said, if you do this, then he is faithful. And this is what he will do. He will forgive you. Oh, somebody says, why do I need forgiveness? Because every sin we commit, I want you to picture it this way. It's like there's a bag at your back. When you were born, they were hanging that bag, and the rope was in the neck, but the bag was at the part, in the bag. Every time you do something you shouldn't have done, there is a pebble, a little stone they put inside that bag at your back. Oh, you see, that's a little thing, doesn't matter. That's what they always say. The second day, you do something wrong, maybe you told a lie. Maybe you stole something. Maybe you became drunk. Maybe you did something that hurts other people. Every time, every day, that thing happens, you put the pebble there. Now, in 1 year, there are already 365 pebbles inside that bag. It's becoming heavy now. And you thought it doesn't matter. The following year, another 365 pebbles is very heavy. It becomes a burden. And the places you wanted to go, you can't go because there's such a heavy load and burden. That load we call guilt. That load we call condemnation. And now you want to run the race that is set before you. You cannot. You cannot because you have a heavy burden bag hanging on your heart, on your soul, on your mind. And it's pressing you down, down, down. You can't even look up. You can only look down because the bag at your back makes your back bent. You cannot be straight anymore just because you are not straightforward anymore. That heavy bag is the thing that bends your back, bends your mind, bends your life, and your life is now no more as straight as a ruler. When your life is straight as a ruler, everything is straightforward, and we can draw through your life, we can draw a good straight line. But no, everything you do now, there is a bent. And so you come to the Lord and you say, I want forgiveness, because it is forgiveness that removes the bag, takes away that bag, dissolves everything in that bag, and then you become free. But he said, there is a condition. The faith we have in divine faithfulness, if we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. Now look at that word confess. Confess is the opposite of conceal. The people that come, they act innocent, they look innocent, they talk innocent, they come like a Pharisee. I am this, I'm this, I'm that. They conceal their sin. If we confess our sin, you won't conceal when you want the forgiveness of the Lord. To they confer their sin. When the children are born, they say, look, in this family, we hate that other family. And they convey and confer the sin from the family to that child. And the child, without knowing anything better, my daddy said, that's what we do here. We hate that family. Mommy said, that's what we do here. We hate that family. Instead of confessing, they conceal, they confer the sin in the family and the peculiarities of the family. Parents drink, the children drink, because instead of confess, they conceal, they confer their own sin so that the children follow after their footsteps. That's what Esau did. Esau said, I hate Jacob. And all the Edomites, descendant of Esau. He conferred that sin of hatred unto them. Year passed, a decade passed, a millennium passed. For thousands of years, the Edomites always hated the Israelites, because instead of Esau confessing his sin, he concealed, he conferred, he conveyed, he taught other people, he conveyed it unto them. And the sins that people commit, call it adultery, conferred, conveyed. Call it fornication, they confer it, they convey it. And they conceal it. They look neat on the outside, but they're very dirty on the inside. And you come with that dirt, you come with that defilement, you come with that heavy load. And it says, yes, you can be forgiven. And every sin at a go, every sin at a time can be forgiven. One condition: if we confess our sins. How do I do that? Number one, I have to condemn that sin before I can confess it. I see it as bad. If another person did it, told a lie, oh, I say, you're telling a lie, that is bad. When I tell a lie, I bring the same condemnation on my own lie as I bring on the lies that other people tell. If somebody messed up another person's wife, oh, I say, this is wrong, how could you do that? Now, if I do that, the same condemnation I label on that adultery or fornication in other people's life, that same condemnation I put on myself if I do that. You have to condemn the sin in you before you can confess it. Now, when you want to confess your sin, you condemn it. Number two, you confront it. Now, if you see an unruly person in society, violent person in society, a very difficult person in society, and you want the society to be peaceful, or you confront him. Living a bad life, you're living a hurtful life, you're living a dangerous life. You confront the sin in other people. When you see that same sin in your life, you confront it. You condemn it. Don't pet yourself. Don't excuse yourself. You say, this is evil. If I saw this in another person's life, I condemn it. If I see this in another person's life, I confront it. You know, there are people, they say, Pastor so and so is living like this, is living like that, because they see that bad, evil, sinful, dirty behavior on the person outside them. And they condemn the sin and they confront the sin. The same thing now you do for yourself. You see, I found myself unfaithful. I found myself dirty. I found myself defiled. What I will condemn in other people, I condemn in myself. What I will confront in other people, I confront in myself. The condemnation of that sin, the confrontation of that sin that leads to confession. And then you can come truly, faithfully, transparently before the Lord and say, Lord, I have sinned. And I condemn that sin even in my life. I don't conceal, I don't convey, I don't confer it to other people. I condemn it, I confront it, I confess it. Now you are ready for his faithfulness, that if we confess our sins, he is faithful, that the divine faithfulness to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's his faithfulness. Once you do the right thing, but remember, if you conceal, you are not confessing. Remember, if you confide to other people, encourage other people, let other people share of your defilement, of your fleshly act, you're not confessing, you don't have forgiveness like that. And you condemn it, and you condemn it now and ever, now and every time. And you say, Lord, I am sorry for this. You can only be truly sorry when you condemn that thing in your life and when you confront that thing in your life. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, there are church people, they separate those two words, forgive and cleanse us. They say, I'm forgiven, don't go yet. Are you cleansed? That's why they come back the following Sunday. Lord, we've done it again. We've blown it again. They were not cleansed. But when God deals with our sin, in his faithfulness, he forgives us and he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it comes as our faith in his faithfulness. God is faithful. He'll do it for us in Jesus' name. Point number two is freedom of a decisive follower. The freedom of a decisive follower. Many people say, I am following the Lord. Are you really following the Lord? You saw Peter and John and James and Andrew, and he said, follow me. Follow me. Now, what that entailed was this. The Pharisees were there, and they had their own followers. The Sadducees were there. They had their own followers. And their own mind, the way they were born and bred, they had the influences on them. And Jesus said, look at all you've been following. You've been following that Pharisee and that Sadducee and that tradition and that religion. Now, follow me. And you know, you cannot walk on two different roads at the same time. There's a road here that the Pharisees take. That is a road here that Jesus Christ takes. And now the religious man, he wants to follow the old road that the Pharisees take. And yet he wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You can't do that, because you cannot walk the broad way and the narrow way all at the same time. You have to be on road A or road B. And Jesus said to them, follow me. He didn't say follow us, follow Jesus and Mary, that will be us, but no. He didn't say follow us, follow Jesus and a Pharisee. No, you can't do that. He didn't say follow us, follow me and an angel. You can't do that. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And anyone that will come to the Father will have to follow Jesus and Jesus alone. And the one that shows us the way to heaven. And if we really mean from the depth of our heart that we want to go to heaven, this is the way, and this is the truth, and this is the life. You cannot follow two people on two different roads at the same time. And when he called them, they followed him. He calls you today. And as you understand, you cannot follow Christ and your native national religion at the same time. You cannot follow Christ and follow the Antichrist at the same time. The Antichrist is the one that opposes everything Christ says, everything Christ does. But you say, I have chosen the way. I've chosen to follow Jesus, not turning back, not turning back. The world behind me and the cross before me, not turning back. No turning back. I'm following the King of Kings. And the King of Kings has a kingdom. And I want to be in that kingdom. And I have chosen to follow this Lord of Lords. No turning back. No turning back. It's when you have Jesus and Jesus alone. You take him as your savior. You take him as your supplier. You take him as your sufficiency, that everything I need on my way to heaven, Christ is all in all for me. That is following after Jesus. And that's what gives us freedom. When you are decisive, you're following the Lord and the Lord alone. I'm reading from John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, I'm reading here from verse 30. John chapter 8, really verse 32. In John chapter 8, reading from verse 32, and ye shall know the truth. And ye shall know the truth. What the truth? He's talking about the truth that leads us to God. He's talking about the truth that leads us to heaven. He's talking about the truth that puts our feet on the way, on the road to heaven. And he says, ye shall know the truth. Now, if you hate the truth, and when somebody tells you the truth, it makes you to be happy, unhappy, angry. I say, look, the way you are following is the broad way, and it leads to perdition, and you are angry. I'm a church man. I'm a church woman. I always give my offering. How can you tell me that? And I believe in vision. I believe in miracle. How can you tell me that? It's because of your life. Because if you're following the broad way, the truth is you will not get to heaven following after that broad way. You remember? If I speak the tongues of men and of angels and have not the love of God in my heart, I'm just like a sounding brass, a tinkling cymbal. And if I had faith that moves mountain, but doesn't move my sin, doesn't move my weaknesses out of my life. If I have faith to move mountains, and even if I give my body to be burnt for religion, and I do not have the love of God, it profits me nothing. The truth is that broad road cannot lead to heaven. If you love the truth, if you accept the truth, and you don't hate the truth, you don't say, I don't want to hear that. I want to do as I've been doing and go as I've been going. And I hope, that's a rotting hope, I hope I'll get to heaven at last. No, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is when you know the truth, you accept the truth, and you believe the truth, and you live and walk by that truth, that's when you are free. You'll be free in Jesus' name. Give a good, better amen to God. Free, free. Why are people not free? Because they don't want to be free. Because it's very simple for God, for Christ, to make anyone, everyone free. But the man is hooked to his bottle of beer. And I say, this thing is hurting your life. Can I take it from you? And then I'll pray for you. You'll be free for the rest of your life. No, no, no. How will my life be without the bottle? Their lives are already inside the bottle. And the bottle possesses them. They don't want freedom. And you can pray for hours for them and mention the name of Jesus 1,000 times. He doesn't want to be free from his bottle. And there are people that have strange women in their lives. They have their wife, and there's another strange woman that gives them pleasure, sinful pleasure. And they might say, you know, I'm just a friendly, loving guy. A sinful pleasure that ties you to that woman. And, you know, and I say, you know, what they seen, a strange woman tied into your life, you're going to miss heaven. No, preacher, don't tell me that. All I want is joy. All I want is happiness and the fellowship, the friendship of that strange lady gives me happiness. Well, happiness on earth, there's going to be sadness and sorrow, suffering. In hellfire forever and ever. When you really want to be free, it's very simple. You say, Jesus, I hate the sin that is tied to my life. I hate the sin that is influencing my life in a negative way. And I know once I desire the freedom, I want the freedom, I cherish the freedom at the number one, number two, number three, number 100 in my life. This is the real thing. I want it. Then it sets you free. But how many people say, oh God, make me free. And God knows in your heart, you don't want to be free from that thing. But the word of God says, you shall know the truth. And when you know the truth, accept the truth, believe the truth, and you give your life to that truth, it says, and the truth shall make you free. Look at verse 36 there. In verse 36, he says, if the Son, because he is the only one appointed by God, He is the only one recognized by heaven. He is the only one that God has put the power, the authority into him to set you free. If the Son appointed, approved, anointed by God the Father in heaven, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You need an amen to conclude that one. You come and truly you love freedom. Truly you want freedom. Truly you desire freedom. And you don't want anything that will tie you down. When the trumpet sounds that you want to go to heaven, I'll say, I reject anything, everything that would limit my freedom in Christ. And you come to Christ with that love, that desire for total freedom. It says, if the Son of God, Savior, Redeemer, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I come to point number three here. Point number three, we're talking now about the fruit, the fruits through disciples, the disciples' fellowship. The fruit through the disciples' fellowship. I want you to pick up that word, disciple, disciple. Without going into any original language, when you write another word, discipline, that word discipline is very close to the word disciple. If you are a real disciple of Christ, you're a disciplined follower, a disciplined believer. Your language is disciplined. Your utterances are disciplined. Your focus, your look is disciplined. And the things you eat, the things you drink, there is discipline. The friendship you keep, there is discipline. And the interactions you have with other people, if you are a disciple of Christ, there is discipline there. But you know, the people who are loose, the people who are frivolous, the people, they act anyhow. They turn anywhere. They drink anything, anytime. And especially when they say they're celebrating the birth of Jesus, they say, this is Christmas. They think Christmas, celebrating the birth of Jesus, means the day of drunkenness, the day for the nightclubs, and it turns the remembrance of the day of Christ's birth into this world. They turn that to the day of the highest indiscipline in their lives. But you know, those are not followers of Christ. When we say, I have come to Christ, I believe in Christ, and I live in Christ and live for Christ, we now are disciples of Christ and we live by his grace, a disciplined life, a devoted life, a dedicated life, a directed life. You know, the people who live, there is no directives for them. There's no direction for them. They just live. My friend, why did you do that? Can you give me chapter and verse in your Bible? Should do that. Can you give me a passage that Jesus said, this is how my followers ought to live. No, I can't give you any verse of the Bible. He doesn't live by the Bible. She doesn't live by the Bible. No directives, but the people who are called the disciples of Christ, they are the followers, and they are directed by the words of Christ. They're directed by the life of Christ. They're directed to follow after the footsteps of the Lord. And that is the joy we have, that we can continue in the fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Father, fellowship in the Scriptures, and in the Holy Ghost. It tells us in the Word of God. And it says in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I'm reading from verse 30. In John chapter 8, reading from verse 30, this is fellowship. Fellowship is not that, you know, we're eating together, that's good, but fellowship goes beyond that. If you're fellowshipping with Jesus, you fellowship on his word. If you fellowship with Jesus, you fellowship on what he wants done. That is fellowship. We're fellowshipping and we're drinking. No, that's not Christian fellowship. We're fellowshipping and, you know, men and women touching each other and like they're in a nightclub. And they laugh and smile and justify all that. That's not fellowship. That's not friendship. Christian fellowship is a fellowship in righteousness, fellowship in holiness, fellowship based on the word of God. In John chapter 8, and I'm reading from verse 30. It says, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Look at the next verse there. It says in the next verse, it says, then said Jesus unto these Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my words, then are ye my disciples indeed. Is that continuation in the word of Christ that is referred to as fellowship? Fellowship. We're fellowship with him. And we're told 3,000 believers on the day of Pentecost, they gladly received his word. If they didn't gladly, cheerfully, happily receive his word, there'll be no fellowship. And then it says they continued the apostles' doctrine in fellowship, in prayers, in breaking of bread. And I was told in verse 43 there, chapter 2, that many signs and wonders were done by the apostles. It is what the Lord wants for us to stand in, to abide in, and to settle our lives in faith, faithfulness, as well as fellowship. And until we see him face to face, he's coming. When he comes, it's only those who have totally and truly believed in him, and those who are truly and totally remaining faithful in him until the future date. And their fellowship is not broken with the Lord. They are the people that will welcome him on the final day. Come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come. And when he comes, They'll meet you in the faith. Say good amen. When it comes, they'll find you faithful. When it comes, they'll find you in fellowship with him. Not in fellowship with the world, not in fellowship with just religion, but in fellowship with him. And then shall we ever be with him forever and ever. Let's rise up now and talk to the Lord in prayer. Let's rise up and tell the Lord, look at your life and say, Lord, I know true faith in you brings me into the kingdom. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, our faith is in divine faithfulness. Divine faithfulness. If we confess our sin, don't conceal your sin. Don't convey the sin to other people. Don't transfer your sin to other people. I do this, I love this. Can you do it? No, don't do that. Don't confer your sins to other people. Condemn that sin. Confront that sin and confess the sin. If we confess our sin, if we truly, wholeheartedly, sincerely, transparently confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. He doesn't forgive us and give us a license to continue in that same sin or in any other sin. He forgives and he cleanses us from all sin. And he wants us to have the grace to be faithful unto him as we identify ourselves as disciples and followers of Christ. And when you do, there'll be discipline in your life, the discipline of a real disciple, not just acting anyhow, living anyhow, as if there is no Bible, as if there is no word from the Savior, the Master, that calls us to follow him. And then we continue the fellowship, in the fellowship of the Son with the Father. Our lives will reflect that every day, every time, we're having fellowship with the Lord. And then the blessing, the benefit of true fellowship will be upon our lives. And when he comes, because he's coming, and the time is getting nearer, nearer and nearer, when he comes, we will see him and we'll go with him and go to live with him forever and ever. Give your life to the Lord in a definite way and become a real follower of the Lord Jesus Christ now, only to walk in the narrow path that leads to heaven. You can't walk on two roads at the same time. On Sunday, sunny, shining. On the weekday, weak, sinful. No. You have to walk on this narrow path that leads to heaven every time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. We pray this truth will be reaching upon the table of every heart. Help us to live according to your word, so that when that final day comes, when a lot of religious people will be disappointed, keep us in the righteousness that comes from Calvary. By your grace, in your love, in reality, and in truth, that we'll spend eternity with the Lord forever and ever. In Jesus' name, help us, Lord, as we live in this world, that we live according to your word. And great will be our blessing here on earth and the benefit and blessedness there up in glory in heaven. Confirm it upon our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.